Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brad Bridger, your host for today. I'm excited about today. We got some juicy flick fashions, a couple of assigned movies, or as they were, things to watch. And top five is going to be exciting. Avery, you got my clips?
I have to double check. I'm not sure if you sent them. I got the listener clips.
It was a couple days ago. Nope, they're not sent.
Everybody's going clips.
That is shocking.
They'll be
that
on the
That is shocking. Hey, buddy, you looking good? Looking
really?
Fresh?
I don't know about that.
I meant greasy. You're looking a little greasy.
He's got a collar.
Needs more grease.
Needs more grease. Hey, I'm excited, too. We got a movie that I broke my rule, and I watched. It's a sequel, Brian.
No, it is part of your rule.
It's a sequel.
It falls under the guidelines.
I like how this is coming apart. My muff on my mic is coming apart. Yeah. Was it worth it? Yeah, we'll get there. Mm-hmm. We'll get there. Hey, maybe the most fun I've had outside of a theater since I last saw you.
Really?
Was with this guy over here.
You're pointing to Avery.
I'm uncomfortable now, Brian. I always knew that Avery had comedic chops. I always knew
How did you learn that?
He's a funny guy.
Not from this
and
show.
A really fun guy to be around.
Head
I've always known that.
Head trauma.
From the first time that I met Avery, and he was on, you know, he goes way back. He was on the set and actually in Cult of Carano.
That's right.
He and Tyler walk into the bar at the beginning of Groupers. Avery's been around for a while. He's been a supporter of the program and a listener of the program and just a great guy. And I saw his comedy special that he taped a while ago. I don't know how many months ago.
Yeah,
that was.
Last summer.
That was the first time I ever got to see him actually perform. And I'm like, this guy's got it. Mm. He's got it. Then I've been guilty because I have not seen him in person yet. I've not seen him live. And I feel bad because I'm a friend. He's a friend of mine. I like him a lot.
I don't feel bad about it.
I know you don't. And he's producer of the show. He's been supporting us in one way or another for years. And I'm like, at least I could do is see this kid, right? Go down and see him.
Sure.
Honestly, I was dreading it. Going to Santa Monica on a Friday.
Just humor him. Get him off your back.
Just the drive.
I knew once I got there, I'd be happy I was there, but I was dreading getting down there.
Abandoning
my family on a Friday.
Hellacious.
There's never a good week. It's never at the end of a week where I'm like, oh yeah, this is a perfect week. I feel like, you know, doing something extra now.
Let me drive an hour from my home on a Friday night.
Yeah. You're lucky if it's an hour.
Hour and a half usually that time of day. Luckily, because of the strikes that are going on.
That'd be an hour from here.
Got down there in a breeze. There was parking when I got there. It took me like 35 minutes to get there. It was shocking.
Nice.
And there was parking everywhere. It was great. See Avery, and I watched his show, and his show is really good. And Avery is at the center of that show.
Really?
Avery's running that thing, and he is surrounded by very funny people. And he was, and I'm not just saying this, he had the best presence. I hope I'm making you uncomfortable. He had the best onstage presence, so he's very, very confident, very funny. And he just, what they do, the nature of the show, it's not scripted. It's not bits that they're doing. I'm sure that there are some bits that they bring in from stuff that they've talked about before.
Well, we could ask the guy
if something sparks a bit that you have, then you might be able to go into it. Yeah,
that's which I think happens too with like a lot of freestyle rap. It's like, is it freestyle or did you just hear gum and that's from another thing that you've already done? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what we do, what they do is you walk in and they had everyone that walked in. There's 20 to 30 people in there, 25, 30 people, right?
Yeah.
And we all wrote out three confessions. And they let us off the hook a little bit. It doesn't have to be firsthand confession. It can be somebody else's confession, but three confessions, you know, they're like secrets. And you fold them up a little piece of paper, you put them in a bucket. And then Avery says, all right, it's time. We're going to begin the show. We've got a lot of fun comedians here for you. And here's how it goes. And he just opens up the first one and he starts riffing on whatever it might be. And he's got this presence where he's got his hands on, you know, off to the side of the mic. And he's like, he's kind of got this intense look. He's kind of looking everyone down, but never a moment of like insecurity or I hope I'm not going to get in your head at all.
I just bombed the next time. This weekend I'm doing 20. I just found out this dry the whole time.
He just set the tone and everyone was laughing right off the bat. Nice. And then every person that he brought up after that was also very, very funny. There wasn't one, like I told you, there wasn't one like weak link. It was, everyone was great. Everyone was funny. Of course, there's a couple weak links that they pull out and they would just throw the guy. He had this one Vietnamese kid up there. Like his whole thing was, I'm not pulling any fucking, any confessions. I'm just going to like talk shit the whole time.
Oh, he's fucking hilarious. Ray is great. He's so, so funny.
He started a chant with a 30 of us that were in there. The gays can wait.
Because it's still Asian American month. You wanted to continue. Right.
Not quite yet.
He got
not
a whole
today,
chant.
Gay.
Including the two gay guys that were sitting right in front of me. They were chanting. The guy was wearing a rainbow dress and pearls, and he was chanting, the gays can wait. It was such an enjoyable, fun night out. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
My buddy,
did the confession writers acknowledge their confession or was it anonymous?
That's part of it, right? Why don't you?
Yeah,
so I'm talking too much. That's my
first
hand.
You experienced it firsthand. Why not?
Sure.
So it's it depends. Some people try to figure it out. Some don't. It's kind of up to whichever comics on stage. Usually, people are kind of sheepish. Some people try to figure out, usually there's not direct grilling or demands that somebody fess up to
it.
But sometimes you can tell, and it happened a couple times during the show, you were at Anderson where somebody would kind of give themselves away or
one lady
fess
left.
Up to something accidentally. One lady did.
And her daughter left, and it was because she was being accused of being a Karen. Oh. And she did bail. Yeah. And it's not a real comedy show unless somebody actually gets offended and leaves. I feel like you're not really at a good thing if someone's not leaving.
Yeah. And that's what I like about the show too, is that we do walk that high rope act of, it does get edgy and touchy and you do get into some,
it got uncomfortable a few times,
touchy stuff. Yeah. And you get that fun push and pull and that uncomfortability, and it's very present in there and now, and everybody, whether you're on stage or off, can tell it's going on in front of you. And this is not scripted. Nobody kind of figured this out beforehand. We're all figuring this shit out collectively.
Yeah.
Everyone will hear, oh, I took a shit in my neighbor's car or something like that. And then we all react to that and that sort of thing. But
you didn't have to use that as an example. We're not
there's
that
far worse.
There were some, there's some really, the best, the maybe. All right, so one of the ones that I did, I don't know if you remember this one, but mine, I think I had four or five because they did a second round as well. But the one that got the big laugh from your girl who brought it home, the
Justine.
Yes,
yeah. She's hilarious.
The comedian.
Is that what you said? Comedian?
I guess. I don't know if they still do. They used to.
Comedias.
Comedianess. No, the comedian. She, it was... I hate comedy shows. I'm only here to support my friends.
I thought that was my roommate.
Which is a lie, because I don't hate comedy shows.
But it's a fun thing to write. At least had a good sense. And then not. Sometimes I forget to open my mail. There were a couple of just shitty ones.
Yeah, there were some real shitty ones. Like the one, like, I pretend that my neighbor's Tesla is mine. That's just like, what do you do with that one?
It's not bad.
Is it not bad?
You walk into traffic. That's what you do. That's what your life is.
If that's your big confession, right? Some of the people, I did feel bad for some of the people, because like these are probably their deepest, darkest secrets. Sure. And like they got these comedians that they've never met before are going, that's not even good. Like your life sucks. That's your confession. But then there was one where it was like, I peed on my dog when I was six and no one found out. And, you know, it was me and no one could figure it out, something along those lines. And then a girl kind of like slipped up and said that it was like, made people think that it was her.
Yeah.
But then she's like, I swear it's not me. And then later she did get exposed. She knew something about like girls and how they can pee in the wild.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, added, I'm like, well, she did pee on the dog. And then everyone thought of her as a dog peer. And we all thought of it until the parking lot when we're leaving. And that's always a fun thing too, when you're leaving with your friends. So which ones were yours? Mickey's the one who peed on the dog. My buddy that I brought
your plus one.
I had plus two.
Him
and
one.
He was 6 years old, and like he did get caught. And I'm like, why'd you do it, Mickey? Why'd you pee on the dog? He's like, I was six. I don't know. Does anyone know why they do anything when they're? I tell you right now, Atticus is six. Tessa's six. If they peed on our dogs, I can't imagine that.
So it would be alarming, and I'd have questions.
A lot of them. Yeah. All right.
For the dog, for Tessa, for everyone.
So it was a great show, and I highly recommend it. It belongs in a larger spot. It belongs like at the Improv or something. It really does.
Yeah, right now we're just working on building the audience.
Are you afraid of someone stealing the idea?
I don't think so. I feel like we've kind of had big enough names on it so far, and we're connected enough that it would be hard to just steal it outright.
It works on both levels, because what was interesting was when the Vietnamese kid was up there, And he wasn't pulling them. He was really funny. But at the same time, I want him to pull.
Yeah.
And a comedian actually said that. It's like, you don't even need comedy anymore. You just need somebody to read your confessions. That's all you guys need.
And he'll laugh, yeah.
But what makes it great is the riffing that goes on in between. So anyways, well done, Avery.
And the push-pull. It's almost like it almost feels like a live party game in some ways, like truth or dare without the dare.
That's why I would think it would really work today more than ever before, too, because we have a generation that needs to be involved with comments and part of things so much, right? Sure. There needs to be that push and pull. So I can see this thing doing really well, and I hope that
if you have ideas, let me know for getting it out there. But
a bigger room. Yeah. A bigger room.
Let me know when you get the bigger room and I'll
turn it up. So we do it every the first Friday of the month at the Crow in Santa Monica, and you can find us at Confess Comedy on Instagram, or it's always the link in my bio as well on Instagram at Avery Comedy. All so
right. I'm watching, I'm like, this guy is so wasted on the film vault. He's so good. grossly overqualified for this position. That being said, why don't we get to something?
Earn my keep. Van Fliction, compiled by the Mitch Burns, who also ran an Instagram poll. I think it was requested last week to see who has or has not seen Goodfellas. Does this ring a bell?
What percentage of our audience?
That was a while ago that we did that.
Well, we have the results. Do we want that last after we get the Fan Fliction, or do we want to have our appetizer first?
We'll get that last.
All right, we'll get that last. Joe Sisson on Facebook. Probably a week late, but watch The Beastmaster. It was bad. I had never seen it before, so the watch along was fun. The movie had me worried about the animals, especially the ferrets. Mm. Watch along, thumbs up. The Beastmaster, thumbs down. Antonio Pena on Twitter. Saw The Boogeyman. Not scary, not fun, quite boring. 1 out of 5.
Terrible.
That is a bummer.
The opposite of what you want.
Lord Longshadow on Instagram. Watched This Mountain Life and Beanpole. This Mountain Life was a beautiful snapshot of a region of the world. It has imagery I will never forget. Beanpole was stark, striking, and very sympathetic. The odd pacing threw me off quite a bit, though. Can't say I could recommend Beanpole to anyone but the A24 crowd.
That's a good call. I think if you like A24 movies, you're gonna appreciate Beanpole. We appreciated Beanpole.
Yeah, sure.
We're not clamoring to see it again anytime soon. However, that This Mountain Life, I would watch again if I was, you know, I had time to kill and I only had a few movies that were available. That would be one of the picks because it's soothing.
Fair.
And we got Jared Tremonti on Facebook. I honestly can't remember the last movie that I had no idea how much runtime was left at any point in the movie. Across the Spider-Verse was that movie. Jimmy Hope on Facebook, Across the Spider-Verse. If I could only watch two movies for the rest of my life, it would be the Spider-Verse movies. That is quite the compliment. And I'm confident the third will stick the landing and be the greatest trilogy of all time. Mm-hmm. The Spider-Verse FVT score. Do we want to guess? We got 19 reviews.
I mean, it's got to be.
How are any negative?
100%, right?
It is 100%.
Yeah, 100.
100%.
Like, I would want to identify that person to give it a negative review and ask them not to listen anymore.
Yeah, or say, what are you looking for?
I think you would just have to outright hate animation. That would have to be just...
Or fun. Hey, speaking of 100%, what percentage of our audience has seen the aforementioned Goodfellas?
Do you want to guess on that?
I would say, I think we guessed 90 to 95 last time. So 90.
92. Why don't you do it? 92.
Very close. 89.
What's wrong with you?
11%. Wow.
Brutal.
Younger people haven't gotten to it yet. It's like old man watch.
You should turn off the podcast and watch it now.
That's your life.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're looking for entertainment right now, unless you're driving or at the gym,
Guy on the bike.
Goodfellas is going to be a lot better than this. I can guarantee.
I don't know if there's anything more entertaining than Goodfellas if you haven't seen it that you could do right now.
Spider-Verse. Some people might say
Goodfellas streaming on something called Max.
Are they going to start Spider-Versing everything? There'll be a Goodfellas version, but Spider-Verse
into the Fellaverse.
But it doesn't even have to be multiverse. It's just done in that style. Because almost slap that style on anything to be sweet.
That's true. It doesn't have to involve multiverses. It can just be an
just redo Goodfellas, but all with the,
just all the different crime families from throughout the years.
Yeah, I would be in. But no, you're missing.
Kingpin kind of is Goodfellas.
Or just different De Niro's being drawn in from different.
But you're missing. They're missing the point still because you're still in the Goodfellas verse. And I'm just saying it doesn't even have to be verses. Who's the verses?
Spitter verse.
You remember that in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when Dennis was trying to figure out like who it's, because every episode pretty much two of them pair up and then they go against each other in some kind of scheme. And there was one episode where like they're getting the rules of the episode and what was going to happen in the episode, but they weren't going to be like against each other. And Dennis just could not compute.
He couldn't get on board.
Okay, but who is it versus though? Like, who is it versus? So good.
Ball silly.
Yes, Brian. A little BlackBerry.
I need to see that again.
I know. I do too. Like today.
That needs to start streaming.
Can we stop doing the show right now and just watch movies? Quietly? That'd be good. Bye. I didn't go into work. Gonna go watch Ball Silly do his thing again.
Shelly's like, you're out partying.
That's what she says. Gallivanting is her latest. I've been gallivanting a lot lately.
We have actually.
I really have been.
Up and down the state.
I was for my birthday.
Comedy shows.
San Francisco. I heard all about it when I went to your comedy show. Oh, off gallivanting again, are you? I went to, it started with a fucking funeral 2 weeks ago. That was a gallivant in her eyes.
Hey, I have a question.
I got home. She's like, how was your gallivanting? I'm like, I was at a funeral, honey.
Gallivanting.
I did drink the night before and the night after, but sure, I was at a funeral.
Understood. I was thinking about Jillian, I often do. And what does she eat when you go to like Panama or Norway?
There's always bread.
Or wherever you went.
She has a very limited diet, and I don't feel comfortable talking about my wife and her peculiarness.
Peculiarities.
Her oddities.
Idiosyncrasies.
Peculiarities. Peculiar is the one word that I really cannot say, and I'm not joking. And
it's not the one word. It's one of many.
Look who's talking.
It's known that you can't
pronounce peculiar. It's the toughest one for me, for sure. And I'm so arrogant, I guess, I still try to bring it to the table. I'm like, here we go. My brain is like, part of my brain's like, no, what are you doing? And I'm like, no, we can do it. Peculiar.
I'm going to stick the landing.
Peculiar. Sticking it. All right, but yeah, I don't feel comfortable talking about her oddities when she's not here to defend her little self. Oh, I'd like to give a shout out to a maniac who, he picked up a bowl that Jillian wanted.
Oh, yeah. In Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Blairsville. Oh. Picked it up. Guess what?
Oh.
Flew to Vegas. Drove to LA. That dropped it off. We took him to lunch.
Is this Mike McAllister?
No.
I hope he's a pilot.
He's not. He's not a pilot. He was looking for an excuse to go to Vegas for a while. He's like,
I hope he's now medicated.
This is the universe that's Pierce. Pierce, who got a lot of airtime over there on the after disaster. But yeah, Pierce. It's
very nice that you treated him to lunch.
Yeah, that's the least we can do. But yeah, he saw it as like the universe was saying, hey, Anderson needs somebody to pick up this bowl. But the irony is a couple people wanted to do it and they were much farther away. I'm like, no, I don't want you driving like 2 hours to go get the bowl.
I want this guy to fly across the country.
I'm in Caldwell, New Jersey.
And then drive. No, he loves it though. He's like my Carano. He loves a road trip. So here we go.
Did the part where I listed all the neighboring cities help?
No, not at all. Oh, sure. He said that he was aware of where he lived. He didn't all need right. to chime
I'll
in.
Take him at his word.
He dropped his Patreon level down a peg.
That's right. Because he's so frustrated.
Here we go. Let's talk movies.
Where are we starting? Well, we're not going to talk just movies.
Let's talk Spidey. What do you mean?
We have a TV show to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're not going to start with a TV show. We're going to start with Spider-Verse. Let's go.
Right into Spider-Verse, huh? Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Or we could start with the TV show. I mean, it's up to you.
It's a 2023 film directed by the trio of Joaquin Dos Santos, Kemp Powers, co-director of Soul, and Justin K. Thompson. Three newcomers. They're not the original directors of the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Co-written, as you can probably tell if you watch it, by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Starring the voices of Shameik Moore, Haley.
There was a third writer, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I just mentioned them because I think everyone's familiar with their brand.
Oh, okay, you didn't mention the third.
If you'd like to,
he's a newcomer, and okay.
Please, I'm not leaving anyone out. I just thought it was notable they were involved.
The directors. Speaking of the directors, we'll get back to the credits in a second. I still don't, not really 100% sure exactly what I should look into this. We should learn this. What an animation director does, or in this case, three of them do. I know that. One of the big things is working with the voice actors and getting the performance, obviously. That makes sense to me. But as far as like the direction with where the direction where the animation goes, are you standing over like guys with girls with pencils and pens, like telling them what to do?
I imagine it was done in some part of Asia, you know, Korea or something.
But how do you direct that? You know
what I'm saying? Even less so.
Yeah. Interesting.
Starring the voices of Shameik Moore, Haley Steinfeld, Brian Tyree Henry, Oscar nominee Brian Tyree Henry, Luna Lauren Velez, Oscar Isaac, Jason Schwartzman, Jake Johnson, Issa Rae, Daniel Kaluuya, and Karen Sony. I'll write that down right.
I feel like you got it exactly.
I think.
Okay. Carosini.
I want to make sure because he was great. The one who voiced Indian Spider-Man.
He was great. Yes.
Avery, you saw this?
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
Dolby.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to see it in IMAX maybe next.
Yeah.
It demands repeated viewings.
It does. It
really
absolutely
have to see
does.
This again. 95% of Rotten Tomatoes last I saw.
These pricks.
That seems low. 95 seems
what
low.
What do you want in a movie?
Yeah.
I guess
how
people.
One out of 20 people say, nah, not good.
You know what, though? Like, there are people out there that, you know, have sensory issues and maybe it was just a little too much for them. And, you know,
AARP reviewer.
I was thinking when I was watching, I feel really bad for people who are sensitive to that kind of thing. They get seizures from that kind of stuff going on the screen. Like, they're not going to be. I wonder if there's special glasses where they. Because there's still so much to get from a movie like this. Despite the, you know, the flashing, like there should be a toned down version where people can access it that can't otherwise because of neurological things.
Fair.
Get right on that. All right. When's the last time you guys saw the original?
I actually caught up on it. I had seen it before, obviously, a couple times, but I watched it again about 2 or 3 weeks ago just because I wanted to refresh because it's been, what, 5 years?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a minute.
It was just as good. Holds up.
Been more recent for me because Tessa went through a phase where she was obsessed.
Yeah.
Watched it. A dozen times. So I really got I got a nice keeping helping of Into the Spider-Man.
So let's start there. Where do you think this one stacks up compared to that one? Like on a scale of 1 to 10 or like...
I saw this the Thursday it came out, Thursday evening or afternoon, whatever, with Tessa. She, of course, was taken aback and thought the first one was better. I explained to her that, no, this is an even better movie than the first one, which is hard to do because I am a avowed fan. Mm-hmm. Of the first one.
This is not shocking to me at all. So Tessa's already a better film reviewer than you are because Tessa's right in this situation.
You think the first one was better?
I do. I think the first one's a tighter movie. I think it's a better movie overall.
Oh, I disagree.
I like this one quite a bit.
But this one has
a few flaws that the first one
does. We're splitting hairs here because I think they're both great. They're both maybe 5-star movies. I think this one's a little better. The ending is stronger.
Ending is not an ending.
I didn't see the ending or non-ending coming.
Either.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of how it was set up, and I didn't anticipate what was happening. I was truly taken aback, and I was thinking about our friend Giovanni, who sends emails from time to time. Mm-hmm. He's very steeped
on rare occasions in
these worlds, whether it's Avengers or Spider-Man or whatever. And it must be tough seeing these movies, being so familiar with where the story's going. Like, I assume this existed.
I don't think he knew about this. I don't think so.
Did this not exist,
what you're talking about, how it ends and where it's going to go for the next one. I don't think that's part of the lore. I could be wrong, but I think it's
maybe
somewhat
wrong.
Original. Might have been I don't know. I could be wrong because I've seen a lot of Spider-Man stuff, as you know. I've seen a lot of Spider-Verse stuff, and there's multiple series that cover the Spider-Verse stuff, and none of it has gone down this road.
No. Okay. So you think the first one's better for what reasons?
Well, first, it was new.
I'm not going to be grudgy your opinion. The first one's great.
It was new, right? We had never seen any animation like that before. We haven't really seen it since, except for Puss in Boots trying to get a little taste. They were trying to wet the beak over there and be like, we can do it too for a couple minutes, right? And then it would go back to normal animation. Sure. Hey, but look at us. We're doing it. And then back to normal. But we had never seen anything like that. A little shorter. I don't know if this one needed 220. Seemed a little, at least for my taste, it was getting a little too sentimental and trying to it was going for mush where mush can just happen. And it seemed like it was spending so long on those scenes with the family stuff. And it's like either it's there or not both. Like all the family stuff really seemed to spend another extra couple minutes.
I didn't mind that. And I found the Gwen Stacy stuff with her dad kind of poignant.
But that wasn't the longest part. I think the stuff with him and his parents and all like the stuff, the grounding stuff. And it just seemed like there was more emotional, like quiet moments in this one that I didn't respond to as much as I responded to all of the quick, fast paced. And it's not even the action. The action will blow you away, but it's the quick wit and the fast dialogue and just the stuff is constantly happening. That's like, how do they think to do that on that screen?
I guess it's just a matter of taste then, because I responded to the exact same moments in a different way, which was I found myself admiring the movie for having the courage, I guess, for lack of a better word, to slow down and break from the Spider-Verse that we all know and take a moment for like family stuff. And I was like, yeah, that works for me. Maybe the stuff with the mom, with the stepmom, no, it's his actual mom.
Yeah.
Was a little too much. a little too long under the water tower on the roof.
Yeah.
But that's a minor quibble.
Oh, no, we're splitting hairs, and that's the problem. And I was doing this with a listener, actually, Jake Werner, who did our top five. He assigned us our top five this week.
Movies where the title is spoken.
And that's the problem, and I shouldn't have done that. It's like, which one's better? Because then you just end up, I'm just in a position where I'm trying to talk about all the bad things, yeah, but it's great. It's like there's nothing wrong with it.
It really felt like I knew nothing about the tone of this or the structure. And it was very Empire Strikes Back. It was much darker, much less funny. It ends on sort of what, not getting into the ending, but it's much more, it's a sadder, darker tale that I was not expecting.
I didn't find it to be less funny, though.
I thought it was less funny. I
didn't think that was a bad thing. But there was definitely not as many jokes per minute. The first one is basically an outright comedy. It is just funny, just minute after minute. This one, there's probably 20-minute stretches where there's not a funny thing that happens.
That's what I'm...
Which I was okay with. I didn't need it.
If I had not seen the first one, I would have been fine with it. And I still am fine with it, but it's just a marked difference from the first one, which was they barely gave you a chance to recover from the last joke or the last sequence. And I watched the first one with Atticus, who's six, and my sister, who's not six, the day before. just because she had never seen Spider-Verse, she was not really aware of anything. And I'm like, oh, wait till you see this thing. And she was blown away, and she doesn't really respond to movies. I'm sitting there crying throughout the first one, just like I did in the theater. And this is the third time I've seen it now. I cried twice in this one, but it wasn't throughout. You know what I mean?
You want to be just waterworks.
And I didn't want it to be, but I think it is a good marker, right? For whether something I'm responding with something. Also, and this, I might get some flack for this, but I did not like the 2 years older Miles. I love Miles, but I do not. He's kind of in an awkward phase right now, and he kind of bugged me way more. He never bugged me in the first one, and he was kind of annoying me a couple times in this one.
Teenage boys are annoying.
I know, but he wasn't in the first one.
You have to allow the movie's premise. I found it to be great. I enjoyed it. The character, the spot character, mm-hmm. is a really, I don't know, you must be familiar with this character.
He's a minor character who never had a big role.
Yeah,
he's
compelling.
Yeah, he is. I was also in Gio kind of set me up because I've seen so many Spider-Man. So he's like, you're going to see stuff that I might not even see or recognize because I've seen more Spider-Man TV shows, cartoons than he has. I think maybe the only one that I might have him on is the Cowboy Spider-Man. Like I am familiar with that one from one of the cartoons that I watched. There's a whole half episode on him. But there's so many crazy Spider-Man versions that I've seen. Now, we have not even talked about Hobie, which...
Hobie was phenomenal.
Without Hobie, this movie, there's no way it could even hold a candle. Which one's Hobie? Hobie's the punk rock guy.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah. And he's just... His animation, his attitude, everything about him
is great.
You know, he's made for 15-year-old me, which still lives inside of me. You know what I mean? He's the best. He's the greatest.
He's Spider-Man Andy, for sure.
He totally is.
He's your proxy.
Oh, he's so cool. He's so great. However, all that said, another problem that I have with
Indian Spider-Man was phenomenal too.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Very good. Very, very good.
And I enjoyed
the return of Jake Johnson as Spider-Man. Spider Baby.
I didn't like him as much either though. With the baby, it got a little bit much. It felt Pixar almost at times.
He was a more minor character.
I didn't like
he needed to balance him to balance out Oscar Isaac's character. Because I think then you really would have gone into humorless territory for long stretches.
Sure.
I think they almost needed to have that. Otherwise, it would have been just very, very serious for 45 minutes.
It felt like The Incredibles a little bit too much for me. And I was just kind of getting annoyed with him having the baby out there. And I was like, okay, I get it. It's supposed to be cute while there's action going on. I'm splitting. And here I go again. I'm talking badly about a movie that is absolutely my favorite movie, bar none, of the year so far.
I can tell.
God damn, I hate myself sometimes. But that's what's going on. I'm just making a case for the first one being... a slightly better movie.
A masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece.
I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you all the way because I do the same thing with The Godfather and Godfather Part 2, which is a lot of people say Godfather Part 2 better than the original. I firmly do not believe that. In fact, I'll go out of my way to be like, it's got this flaw, it's got this flaw, it's got this flaw, it's not as the first. And next thing I know, I'm talking shit about a great movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's Godfather Part 2 is fucking awesome. It's just not the first one, but I end up talking shit about a movie that's very good.
And I'm so foolish because I completely set this entire review up that way by saying, all right, let's talk about the first one. And I just learned when I was talking to Jake that that's not a good thing to do a couple days ago. Listener Jake. Another problem I have with Yep. We're kind of getting into endgame territory with me kind of seeing the point of the whole thing and not agreeing with the protagonist and thinking maybe the protagonist should back off a little.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah, there's bigger issues out there, Miles.
Yeah.
Bigger populations to consider.
Right.
Than the one that lives under your roof.
Plus, you're the youngest one. I had the same problem with Spider-Man with, like, you know, No Way Home and how he was, I think that's the one, with Doctor Strange. It's like, dude, you can't just steal that from Doctor Strange. I mean, he's Doctor Strange. Like, be a kid. Like, know your, like, respect your elders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's Spider-Man's, that's his whole thing.
I found the ending, the very end, without saying what happens, to be quite the revelation. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I was impressed by how much it kept me guessing. I really was not sure where the story was going at almost at any point in time.
I don't think it's saying too much, but I was looking at my watch because we had dinner afterwards, and I'm with Tessa, and she's squirming or whatever, and I'm like, we're going to have a really short wrap up here with the spot.
Yeah, I could not tell what part of the movie I was in. I kept going, okay, now we're going into Act 3. And then it would keep going. I go, okay, I guess that was the midway point.
Yeah,
and now I think we're going to Act 3. And then when it ended, I went, oh, holy shit. It's that makes sense now. I get what we're doing.
I did not know. Are we spoiling it by saying it doesn't end? Because it doesn't.
I don't think so, because I guess that's out there. My buddy who I went with knew that going in. And I think if you're tuned into this movie, you're aware of that. And I think do you think it would help having known that going into this and not trying to guess?
It might have helped, yeah, because I was looking at my watch.
It was a little distracting.
Because I knew what time we were getting out of there, and I was looking at my watch thinking Atticus had to be at karate. Like, you know, we're going to have like a half hour in between, which is going to be a little bit tight. And then I was going to, am I getting the time wrong? Like, how, we're all doing the same thing. I was like, how could there only be 10 minutes?
Especially if you're a movie fan too, where you're trying to deconstruct the structure and the acts and then where you are. It was impossible to do.
Another thing that they did that was amazing as far as tone goes was
in the first one,
Spot could be so goofy and fun.
Yeah, silly, comic relief.
And they made him pretty menacing.
Yes.
And with the help of animation and obviously his voice effects and his performance. But for them to be able to go from super goofy comedic relief almost to where they got him, that's a tall order. And I feel like they executed.
Yeah,
that.
You don't see that too often outside of like a character falling into a vat of acid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some
exactly.
Incidents.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking RoboCop.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a villain. Like there are plenty of villains that can start
who die in like a funny way. Yeah. We talk 5 minutes in spoiler on Patreon, right?
Can if we want to.
We should.
Yeah. They did manage to, I think, to freshen up some of the animation. I liked how parts of it looked almost watercolor at times. I think specifically Gwen's world.
I have not read up on this yet, but I would imagine that they were trying to cram as many different motifs and style art, because these are all art nerds too. A bunch of art nerds are working on this, and I think that they used all sorts of different methods and homages to artists.
Like the vulture was great at the beginning. One of that interesting
fantastic.
I think you're both right. I think I picked up on that kind of like in the movie Traffic, right, where they would use different film stocks to identify different storylines.
Yeah. I think it was pretty much yellow or different. It was not, was it storylines or was it different areas in the world?
Both, because remember Topher Grace and whoever the chick was.
Topher.
Eva Christensen. Wow. Eva Christensen. That's her name, right? Fake Julia Stiles?
Could have been.
I could not get over how much Gwen's dad looked like Paul Newman. I just got
hung
up on
about
that.
He did look a little Paul.
He looked very, there's no way they didn't design him with some Paul Newman in mind.
You think so?
Yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even ready for the, I could tell from the trailers, but I was still surprised by Gwen Stacy and Miles Morales are effectively co-leads. Like it's both of their stories.
It's sort of like the first act is her story.
Yeah.
Splitting hairs here and picking nits. But I mean, I didn't need to see her dad point the gun at her after, you know, it's too much. Like I didn't buy, that was for me trying to push the story, the narrative with like, you know.
So you could have more of an arc.
Yeah. Like that didn't feel honest to me. And I don't know if there was those kind of moments.
I would agree.
I don't think there was those kind of moments. And I think it was a wrong choice.
That was probably the weakest point for me. Cause I did feel that watching it where I went, I don't know if any dad, he's somewhat responsible dad is doing that.
Yeah. I mean, even if he just tried to cuff her instead, I didn't need the gun to be raised because especially what we know about guns and cops and everything, it was just, it didn't feel honest, but picking nits. That's not what I sat down here to do.
Go see
this movie. It is the next, like we said about the first one 4 or 5 years ago, like this is the evolution of movies. This is where things. We saw it with Toy Story 1995, and now we're here all these years later, and they're continuing to do it. So
impressive.
Oh, and
impressive.
You won't have to wait long for the next one. The next one is next April, I believe.
Oh, hell.
So because I think they did summer them back early. To back.
Poor Atticus. I can't speak for Tessa, but I mean, he's having a hard time wrapping his mind around this one verse.
Right.
Sitting in this
theater.
The
one we're living in.
Trying to explain to him. I was in his ear quite a bit, like, okay, that guy's that good because of this guy and that guy. And he's son, I think he was able to follow along a little bit because of all the Spider-Man cartoons we've seen with all the Spider-Verse. Because a lot of them, like season 5, will have like, you know, a four episode arc of the Spider-Verse. And it gets really fun. It gets really fun with some of those cartoons. Because there's just so many endless possibilities. I also, picking this, was hoping for a few more fun. We had Hobie, but I was hoping for some more. They had a lot of like throwaway Spider-Man that were just kind of in the background. And they,
sure.
There's so many versions that I have seen in the cartoons.
I like the girl on the motorcycle.
The pregnant girl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think this gives anything away, but based on how they set up the end for the next movie, I think you'll get more of that.
I hope so.
I think it'll be more of a balance of the two tones. It seems like it's poised to be funnier.
Because there's a pirate Spider-Man that's fucking fantastic. There's so many. I mean, you think of a character in like TV or movies, like they've had versions of that as Spider-Man in a different universe. They have so much fun. It's just limitless.
How hard is it to go back to like caring about live action Spider-Man after this?
I mean, he's great though, right?
Yeah, they're really well-made movies.
Well, the only way we could was No Way Home, which was live action Spider-Verse.
That's kind of true.
There's some great. Let's talk about talk some spoilers and stuff in the Patreon only because there are a couple of things that I want to bring up.
Check that out if you're a Patreon. Nits. Was that? Yeah, pick more.
No, nits. It'll be good. It'll all be my favorite stuff. I can't really talk about. I don't think without giving stuff away.
The good stuff is paywalled.
Look for that.
You'll get Anderson's compliments.
No,
if you
just like little moments.
Patreon.
They're little Easter eggs and homages and fun stuff that you know. It's like remember that part? That part was great. I wanted more of that. Oh, no, that's picking a nit though. If I wanted more.
Instead, I got this.
All right, let's take a quick little break.
Check that out on the Film Vault Patreon at patreon.com/thefilmvault. Next, two more Flickfessions after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope. Never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
For the fourth year in a row, Dawn is partnering with iHeartRadio for Can't Cancel Pride, a campaign that has raised over $11 million for the LGBTQ+ community. Dawn continuously strives to celebrate visibility and inclusivity for all, and that means supporting amazing organizations like Centerlink, providing safe spaces where over 52,000 community members go each week to receive critical and life-saving services. Dawn is there for your home or your home away from home. So visit can'tcancelpride.com to learn more.
We're back. Got a couple of listeners signed.
Yeah, where do you want to start? You want to start with Band of Brothers? You want to start with, it's a movie show, so let's start with the movie, which is My Neighbor Totoro.
My Neighbor Totoro. Not Totoro, I found out as I watched the film. 1988 animated film directed by Oh, hiccup there. Hayao Miyazaki. Hayao Miyazaki. Director, as recently discussed, of Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind. Starring the voices, at least the version I saw, the 2005 English redub, Dakota Fanning, Elle Fanning, and Tim Daly.
Yes, yeah. That's the version I watched.
93% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is streaming on something called Max. Mm-hmm. So is there still a company called HBO, but their streaming service is called Max? Are they going through a whole...
There's a lot of... Talking to my friend up in San Francisco.
Trying to go to the gay shit.
Who's part of LGBTQ, and he's quite upset about Max. And he says that they got rid of all sorts of like his favorite shows and LGBTQ shows. And I'm like, are you sure? Because that seems like a really dumb thing to do right now. And he's like, I'm telling you, Anderson, like all the shows that I love that I had banked, they turned Max on the 23rd and they're just gone. I'm like, that's weird.
Man. Mm. All right, this is...
Your snacking is getting out of control, by the way. We got to try.
According to an article from the Financial Times,
he's Totoro... getting it in before next week.
What's that?
Before we're off next week, he's trying to get it in.
He's got a double smack, yeah.
The character of Totoro, according to the Financial Times, is sort of a Japanese equivalent to Winnie the Pooh in terms of like affection from children. Like it has become a beloved character.
And also, it comes from folklore. I was talking to Leif, who did you credit the
listener?
I did
not. No, thank you for doing that.
Yes, Leif Nordling. I have a hard time reading. Is there an L in there? I think there is.
There is. Leif. Nordling.
When you got L's and I's next to each other, it's just like game over, man.
Nordling sounds like a little Nord.
Spoke with Leif.
Oh, it's a Nordling.
In fact, I told a story that Leif told me about one of the worst things I've ever heard involving a cut cheek.
Oh.
I told that story in the After Disaster. My goodness, this is terrible. Like this. You guys will enjoy that later this week. But I spoke with him. He's in Luxembourg and on the Paris time.
Long please. Luxembourg.
I got to speak with him. We did a little FaceTime to catch up and talk about my neighbor Totoro. And
Totoro.
I know you should know that too, because the song was stuck in my head for like 3 days after I saw the movie. Totoro. All right, so we don't need that ever again. I will never do that again. I apologize.
I think there should be more. That should be the new theme song.
There you go.
So, what were your thoughts there, Barbara?
For Fembolt.
No.
I don't mind that.
The new DuckTales.
I don't mind that.
You watched this with the girl? You watched this with
your daughter? No, she was swim practice or something, but I enjoyed it myself. I don't know at this point with these movies, what else is there to say? Like these are really enjoyable, sweet, get in, get out. How long was this movie? Like 90 minutes, maybe?
Not very long. So here's the setup. Here's the storyline, with my neighbor Totoro.
Totoro.
Mom's in the hospital. Dad's got two kids. They're moving into a house. Turns out that it might be haunted. It's out in the sticks, in the middle of nowhere. You get the sense that it's in the past, a bit of a period piece, but not too long ago because he's got an office job that he's kind of working remote from somehow.
It was 1988. I thought it was cut. Was it not? Contemporary?
Contemp? I don't know. Man, it's hard to tell where they live. They live in the farmland.
You're right, because I believe the phone, when they call the dad's office, is one of those like old-timey phones. You pick up the receiver and talk into the, you know what I mean? Into the mouthpiece.
It seemed, I don't remember the car that they got off. I do remember the cat bus, of course, because how could you ever forget that? But so mom's in the hospital and this dad is doing, I want to say he's doing a decent job raising the kids, but that'd be a lie because he's being awful with the children.
He's trying his best.
They're out running around, just running amok, and it's just farmland and ponds and like thorn bushes and tunnels that evidently lead to giant raccoons. And he's just inside the office working.
Yeah.
And he's got like a 3-year-old. He's got like a 3-year-old that's out there.
When you say giant raccoons, to be like 20 pounds?
No, I'm talking like probably 500-600 pound raccoon, maybe 800 pound.
Totoro. A giant raccoon.
Totoro?
Totoro.
He's large. He's very big. He's got little versions of himself too. Totoro doesn't show up for a little while, but the kids are just running amok. And ultimately, it's easy to watch. You're invested in the characters. Smooth. Goes down very smooth. I watched this with Atticus.
Do we get a confirmation that Totoro was a raccoon?
No.
He was a beast.
He's a beast. He's
a mythical beast.
He's a child's imagination. He's Bing Bong.
Where the wild things are.
Yes. It's one of those things. It's all about it's all about like child's innocence. We've seen this story before where like only children can see Totoro, as well as the cat bus that shows up at
that
one
cat
point.
Bus had a lot of legs.
They're waiting for their dad to get off the bus because they're just by themselves, right?
They're out in the middle of a rainstorm at a bus stop in the middle of goddamn nowhere.
Waiting for dad who gets caught up at work, and so he doesn't get the bus that he should get, and like he has to make them wait longer and it's raining. That's when they first meet Totoro. And
one of those.
And while they're waiting, that's when they first see this cat bus roll up. And the cat bus is fucking awesome. All right, the cat bus.
Cat bus is straight out of Nausicaa.
It's now, is it in Nausicaa?
No, what I'm saying is it might have been a leftover character who didn't make it.
I saw a listener let me know that the cat bus shows up in almost all of his work. Somewhere.
Oh, that is
like,
great.
He has the cat bus show up in the background.
I remember that.
And Kurosawa got to sit down with oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on his
Miyazaki.
Name. Miyazaki. And all you wanted to do was talk about the cat bus. So the cat bus is fantastic. If you've seen the movie, you understand the cat bus. And the cat bus shows up again later in the movie.
Google Nausicaa cat bus.
I am sold after seeing the cat
with
bus.
The rats as the lights. It's
yeah,
just
you need to see
really,
how it moves.
Really good stuff. But then by the end of the movie, the relationships that had been set up pay off, and there's real arcs there and real pathos, and you're feeling and you're worried and you're nervous. And talking to Leif, he's like, oh, it gets really dark at this one part. And I'm like, I mean, I didn't buy it without, you know, skirting the issue, but involved a shoe and sticks and water. I'm like, Atticus wasn't concerned. You can watch this with your 5, 6, 7, 8 year old, and they're going to get something out of it. Probably.
There was a child that needed to be found.
Well, yeah. At one point, but Atticus hated that little girl. He was very annoyed. She's so annoying, Dan. Why is she always crying? Because she was a baby.
Yeah, her mom's in the hospital and she's 3.
Yeah, and she doesn't have a mom. And I said, you used to cry a lot when you were 3. He's like, yeah, but that's because I was like upset by things.
She was unprovoked.
I had a lot going on.
You mentioned the soot gremlins. That's sort of the first instance that we get that something's amiss.
Something's a little bit fantastical. Mm-hmm. And these guys show up and have a pretty big role in Spirited Away as well.
Oh, really?
So are they the same character style then? It's the same...
It's the same director, same writer.
No. But I mean the soot things.
Yeah, the soot things.
Identical creature.
They have a little more definition, I'd say, in Spirited Away, because all of the definition in the artwork in Spirited Away by then is a little bit more formed and evolved. But yeah, they're the same little dudes with the little eyes. The same guys. Yeah, they're soot creatures. It's essentially, they're dust that's come to life.
Yeah, the little dust motes.
Yeah. One gets killed in this. I didn't like that. Three-year-old, the annoying 3-year-old, just stomps him.
That's upsetting.
I really forgot about it. She is annoying.
She's very annoying.
I'm with Atticus.
Kids perceptive.
But I cannot wait to continue to watch his work. I can't say that I've seen a bad scene so far. Everything that he does is just great. From Nausicaa.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nausicaa a little better than this, but it's more a grown-up, you know?
Spirited Away, have you seen it?
Still haven't seen it.
Brian, no. I am so jealous of you.
Maybe I'll see it when you're gone.
As far as...
In theaters in October, right? As part of the Ghibli Giblets.
Is it October? Or the way
I think they're saving that for the end, I thought.
Apparently it is Ghibli. At least that's what Ghibli. Leif tells me, yeah.
I've heard... Okay, I've heard
I think Ghibli. Spirited Away is last because the 15th anniversary was Ponyo. And that was the
Ponyo.
First one that they already
Ponyo?
Did.
Ponyo.
Seen that either.
So I think in October, Spirited Away will be playing in theater in Los Angeles.
And then we're going to be watching Princess Mononoke here very soon. And that's supposed to be one of his best. And it's darker than the rest as well. So very excited that I'm just discovering this entire style of movies. So, I mean, I've known it's out there. It just bugged me until now. I'm in.
Can we mention the granny?
You want to talk about the granny?
She was great. That's all I have to say.
Fantastic. She was old.
She was old.
She's decent.
Hence the name Granny.
She could have been around more because those kids needed a parent.
They needed someone in their lives other than their dad, who was serving two masters.
He didn't seem to be bothered by it. Like that is a one.
There was a
note
lot of
that
life.
I have. It's
hey,
like,
kids, enjoy the house. I'll be back tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, right. And like his oldest was maybe 9 or 10.
Although at the same time, it's a different generation. This would have been. I feel like this is a pre-World War II, you know, based on the phone and
maybe, all that I don't stuff. Know. Yeah, I don't know what time.
Can you see every weekend?
Yeah.
When my neighbor Totoro is set.
It was a different time is what you're saying.
Twas. You right? Making age or not?
1950s Japan.
Brian, it still That's bugs weird. Me that I can't see like I could just a couple months ago. Like my eyesight is going so rapidly.
Is that bad, huh?
But yeah, I'm feeling like if I squeeze my eyes, I can actually see a little bit better. And I've never tried this before, but
it
kind of works.
It does work, which is bizarre. Squinting does help.
Yeah. Do not laugh, Brian. Do not laugh at my downfall. Why would you laugh at that?
Your precipitous decline?
All right. Do you know that today, as I speak these words, I believe today is D-Day?
June 6th, yeah.
How do you like them apples? What are we about to talk about here, Brian?
Band of Brothers. That's right. Band of Brothers is a 2001 TV show. I guess we can still do it. Directed by first episode. We were assigned the first two episodes. First episode, entitled Karahi, is directed by Phil Alden Robinson. I believe he directed Field of Dreams. I didn't write it down, but I'm pretty sure. Second episode, directed by Richard Lon Crane. Richard Lon Crane is entitled Day of Days.
Revoked.
Depicts, like you said, D-Day. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is streaming on a service called Max. I'm going to keep doing that. And Anderson, I don't know what your history is with Band of Brothers. I was aware of it, but never saw it.
Good for you, Brian. That's really impressive. Thank you.
And I'm thinking to myself, why wasn't I compelled to see this? Why? It feels like it came and went. Like, it only exists as like a box set. You know what I mean? Like, you get your father on Father's Day. Turns out, the first episode released on September 9th, 2001,
yeah,
2 days before 9/11, after which, according to Wikipedia at least, HBO canceled the entire marketing campaign. And so the first episode, which drew 10 million viewers, by the end, the last episode only had 5 million. They weren't promoting it. They weren't hyping it. They aired it, which is strange because you feel that was a weird time. But it feels like that would have been a good time to like get people excited or... Not excited. What's the word? Get people lift their spirits.
Patriotic
a little, yeah, lift their spirits. A little patriotism, right? A little.
It would almost feel like propaganda, like enlist now, you know, to fight the evil enemy.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, but you know, I was depicting a real thing. And by the way, that's another thing I discovered in the research was how much of this is based on history. Like, I think most of these characters are real people.
Brian, you think?
Wasn't that the entire premise of the?
They don't reveal that. I mean, they have.
They don't reveal.
They have it. They have interstitials where. Before where they're talking to what I imagine are the real people. They don't credit.
No, they're old men that they hired.
Yeah.
They're old actors.
I got the sense that they were veterans.
Have you watched Band of Brothers?
I've seen the entire thing. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's the whole point is like, let's not make a Hollywood version because it's from a lot of the same people that did Saving Private Ryan too. And from talking to Frank today, who's just going by Frank, he works in the business. I got to talk to him all about different sets and different people and what they're like working with. I talked to him just today. It was fantastic. So Frank-
Did he do his list of dumb dead guys?
He did not give us a list of dumb dead guys, but he is completely moved by Band of Brothers. His little trick he was hoping would happen is we'd watch these first two episodes and then we'd be compelled to watch the rest. His little trick is not taken- effect.
Same, but
yet.
I am interested.
But I think I have to watch the rest.
I do feel like I kind of want to know what happens next.
It is very good throughout. It is very even, and it has one of the most shocking reveals out of any episode of television I've seen.
The Americans are the bad guys all along?
No, oh, that'd be sweet.
But it is incredibly jarring and very clever filmmaking what they do in one of the later episodes, and I don't want to reveal it in the event that you end up watching it, but it's one very
the,
interesting
one
to watch.
Makes their way to Hiroshima. Boy, is he surprised.
He rides the bomb down like Dr.
Right.
Strangelove.
Like Slim Pickens.
Fat boy.
Tom Hanks.
I feel like this might sound ridiculous, but this is what's going on in my head. I feel like it's the least I could do as someone who's never served, who gets to live the life that I live and do in large part to the Greatest Generation and the sacrifices that were made. Seeing these real life 20 years ago, I would imagine a lot of these guys are not no longer with us, but each episode opens up with the guys whose these stories are actually about and they're retelling it, you know, talking head style, and then it goes into a reenactment essentially. So I was talking to Frank and this technically could be considered a documentary. I know that's a stretch, but like they're reenacting what these talking heads, these actual real life heroes tell us what they went through.
To be more specific, I should say that I did make the connection.
He's backpedaling.
I really am. But I didn't realize that I thought that they took the stories and like fictionalized them with like other characters. I didn't realize that they were playing the guys who were there.
So Frank read the book and then he also watched the full series. And I might actually even take the next step and eventually read the book because I would love to hear these guys, you know, longer form tell their stories. But Frank was saying in his research that they would actually go as far as talking to these guys and then they would go over the scripts and the guys that actually lived it would say like, no, that didn't happen. Like, no, we were all acting like that because our friend's head just got blown off. He wasn't even in that part anymore because he had already been killed and they were reworking things to make them as accurate to the actual battles as possible with the guys who actually lived through it. They're acting as consultants and tech advisors, essentially. So,
speaking of which, the American soldier for Germany who pops up in episode number two.
Yes.
I guess it makes sense. I wasn't aware of that as like, oh yeah, that probably happened to a handful of people.
It's the one part that I told my wife about because I never could.
Which part I don't
so
recall.
In the second episode, once they hit land. So the first episode is, and let's just get this straight. Okay. I did not know today was D-Day. This is just a happy accident. And it's a nice coincidence.
Fucking pinko.
I know. Frank pointed that out to me. Mm. And I would like to take credit for it because what I was kind of in charge of and orchestrated was we did do top five princesses last week.
That's true.
To come at the same time as
Ariel
and a little mermaid. So I feel like we did a good job there, but I had no idea that D-Day, I mean, just furthers my shame of not having been well steeped in.
And you have a USAA insurance.
The greatest. And I still do.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Is that stolen
valor?
Oh, I feel such shame.
I've been getting bombarded with the USAA commercials.
They're good, though.
It's the greatest
company in the world. They're
not good. USAA does is great. I don't care.
Wait, I'm talking about the Rob Gronkowski ones where he's trying to steal. He's trying to get the insurance even though he never served. It's like, what is the message here? This guy's blatantly trying to stolen valor.
No, the one I've seen is two women are just at a barbecue and they're going, oh, you had USAA? And she goes, I do. And she goes, did you serve? And she goes, no, but my grandfather did. And they just look over at this picnic table and this old man in the Vietnam veteran hat just tips his hat and then Jesus. They cut away. And then they go, USAA. It's the weirdest fucking.
Wait, is your grandpa eligible? Because I'm going to get in on that shit.
It's bizarre. Just cut over, tips
so
his hat.
So if I marry you and gay marriage is now legal, I could get it as well?
Yes, because old Grandpa Joe's in the team.
All right. Well, that's like, so it opens up.
Grandpa, this is what you fought for. Me and my husband.
Easy Company, right?
Yeah.
Easy Company is.
That's the basic training.
The basic training. So we get to go through the whole basic training and it's like an hour and 20 minutes. This is very cinematic. The only real flaw that I have, and it's a taste thing, is like that too many fade to blacks. Let's relax with the fade to blacks. A lot of fade to blacks, right? It's a kind of old man filmmaking.
Sure.
Might have been a style.
It was an old man story.
Yeah, I guess. True. So did not need the fade to blacks because the action was not old man style at all.
No.
It was very like in your face. This is like new filming. It was very cinematic. And David Schwimmer shows up and he is their lead command, right? He's the one who's going to make sure that they have the greatest company in the entire basic training.
He's fastidious.
Yes. And he loves to revoke every privilege that he can. And this is
the most minor of infraction.
This is how this man deals with stress, right? And I thought it was a very nice depiction of how different people deal with stress in different ways. And his way of dealing with it was to be a ruthless dictator who is not capable of doing the actual job, I think, in many cases.
It was fun to watch his character turn from what you just described to when he actually gets put into like training exercises and he's incompetent.
I think that happened quite a bit.
I know, but it was fun.
Yeah, I did not question. And that's another great thing about this show is like I was not going, did that really happen? Maybe a little bit with all the bullets flying at times, like, you know, people storming nests and whatnot with like five Germans shooting at them, not a single one. But that's just, you know, par for the course with Hollywood. But for the most part, like the storylines, and it just felt, oh my God, the second episode with the planes, my God.
It was intense.
So, yeah, we get out of basic
Schwimmer,
training.
As we mentioned off the air, a very un-Schwimmer role.
Yes, he was playing against type a little bit, at least from what we know of Ross and everyone's favorite show, Friends.
Yeah, I hate Ross too. He's very unlikable in Friends.
But I love this show. It's very, very good. And I should watch the rest of it. I really, really should. It's embarrassing that I haven't
You know what's
seen
fun
it.
Is seeing all the future stars pop up in very minor roles.
Tom Hardy shows up apparently.
Apparently somewhere down the road, so does Fassbender.
All right.
At some point, we haven't seen them yet, but we did see. I saw Simon Pegg. I saw Stephen Graham.
Yeah.
And I thought I saw Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell's in there for sure. He's the one that was imitating the sergeant's voice.
No,
yes,
that's not.
That's Rockwell.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Sammy
I didn't know.
Sammy Rockwell.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yep. So thank you very much, Frank. We'll leave it at Frank. He says he just wants to be Frank.
All right.
That's his name, Frank.
And there's also
Frank F. Frank.
There's also a related series called, I think it's just called The Pacific.
We got enough on our plate.
Where it's the same. And apparently that is much more brutal as
I'm
well.
I'm doing Jeez. My job as an American by watching the rest of these.
I'm doing my duty.
We want to watch them for the rest of the summer. Maybe we can kind of flick fest them here and there.
Watch along?
No, we're not watching along with this, Brian. Get like a hot dog, wear an American flag
shirt.
That's right. No. Okay.
Some Cracker Jacks.
What we were talking about earlier that you have forgotten, I guess, because it's been a while since you've seen it, but and it was revelatory to me as well, Brian. So they've landed. They've kind of got their bearings. They're going to the American side of like their little base camp.
Yes.
And they come across a couple of Germans, Krauts, they call them, right? And they're prisoners of war now. They're just sitting there on a hill. And one of the Americans, one of the guys in the Easy Company, gets right in one of the Germans' face and goes, "Where are you from, son?" Like laughing, you know, because he's a German. And he starts walking away. And the German guy says, "Eugene, Oregon," in a perfect American accent. And the Easy Company guy goes, wide-eyed, turns around. He says, "What do you mean you're from Eugene, Oregon?" And he says, "My dad told me that, you know."
Didn't they have some connection? They knew they were at the same school or something.
But he's the Easy Company guy says, "I'm from, you know, like 50 miles away in this part of Oregon." And like, so they sit down and he's like, "What are you doing here wearing a Kraut uniform?" And he said, "My dad said, you know, that our people needed us. The Aryan Nation was going to war and that I should enlist. So I did. And I guess that actually happened. It never occurred to me
they shanghaied his son and brought him to fight.
They shanghaied him.
I doubt he wanted to go.
Speaking of Nazis and I don't encourage this kind of behavior, guys.
What, Nazism?
No, telling me to watch
taking
things.
Taking a hard stand.
Telling me to watch things when I don't have time. But we did Top 5 Barbecues a couple weeks ago. And somebody said, "Hey, the greatest barbecue scene I've ever seen is from a TV show called The Hunters." And it's the very first opening scene of the first season's episode one, The Hunters. Holy shit.
Holy shit. Oh, is that with Al Pacino? Is it the one?
Al Pacino is not in the scene, but Al Pacino is in that show. Oh. What a great open to a series. I'm not watching the rest of that one. I don't know anything to anyone, but
I'm going to watch it right now.
It's fucking
There's no
great.
War veterans in that one.
Dylan Baker crushing it. Oh my God, it's great.
The Hunters.
Watch the first 5 minutes. I forget who told me to do that. And I told him, "I don't have time. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I don't remember your name. Gosh, darn it." Hunters.
Recognize? Oh, wow. Yeah. Barbecue.
Oh, you, it was Oliver Judd. Of course, Oliver.
I wish I hadn't read that.
How did I not remember? Oliver, it's been a long week. All right. I've talked to a lot of people, been doing a lot of things. I'm sorry, Oliver. You and I go way back. Tim Judd's son told me to watch that. So.
I wish I hadn't read that.
Old, cool, new. What are you doing? You're reading things to spoil stuff.
I'm just reading Wikipedia.
Stop reading Wikipedia.
Oh, I feel terrible.
So now you know how that scene ends?
Yeah.
Fool.
I know.
You had a fun 5 minutes you could have watched. It's like a little short movie. God, Oliver Judd was not wrong.
Yeah, why would you go to Wikipedia?
Why would you go to Wikipedia?
I don't know. I didn't know anything about the series.
What's he doing? He's Mr. Fact Boy over here. He's like, oh, maybe I can get some facts.
Start off with his SAT score, and it's just been downhill.
I didn't look at the number.
I didn't refuse. I already am starting to doubt it, though.
Yeah, Brian wrote a check, and he's like, "Oh, Anderson, you'll be happy to know that the check number is my SAT score. Do take a look at that when you get a moment."
Let's put it this way. I've gone through a lot of checks.
Stupid. It's not even that good. My pre-SAT score was like 5 points below that.
Really?
So suck it, yeah.
But below? we have fun over here.
Stop it. All right, let's go. I got to go watch Band of Brothers. Thank you very much to everyone. I was talking to listeners all week. So many listeners have contributed to this program and become a part of the program by assigning us movies and coming up with lists and whatnot. I've talked to 4 listeners since last week. 5 listeners, if you count Pierce, who drove out from Vegas.
That's right.
Jesus. Yeah.
What a fool. I mean, how nice.
It was a very... Jillian also proved that she can be a human being and she can overcome her anxiety.
Oh, good.
She came to lunch. It was just Pierce, Jillian, and I sitting on a sidewalk cafe, and Jillian was actually steering the conversation.
Really?
I got up and left. I went to the bathroom.
You're
I'm
still
like, I'm just going to leave Jillian with Pierce, the listener, which is something that I would never do, right. But it was for her bowl, so I'm like... And she was fine. Yeah, she was good.
Wow. Yeah. The baby's all grown up. Thanks, Leif Nordling and Frank, for your excellent assignments. More assignments like these, please. Actually, really good movies.
Oh, we get a lot of good movies. How dare you?
Good movies, I should say. Anderson and Brian is the website where you can go to find out more information about August Premiere. August Premiere is the band you're listening to, the feature artist this week. Anderson and Brian is the Instagram. Anderson and Brian is the TikTok. The Film Vault is Facebook. It's also Twitter. The Film Vault Podcast is our YouTube. youtube.com/thefilmvaultpodcast. Speaking of which, thanks, Eric Kath. Appreciate all the work you do over there, putting that up and maintaining our page. Very cool. Appreciate that.
Giovanni. Yeah, Eric, I screwed up this weekend. I didn't have audio for the first five minutes, so I'll send you an email about that. My apologies. Can we start over the show so I can have audio on the
Yeah, totally. Sure.
Okay, let's just
We should do our best to remember what we said and just voice it over.
We've had to do that before, and it makes for the worst show ever. And we have to redo a show that we'd already done.
I'm saying we got the video, so let's try and sync it.
Oh, I see.
A little ADR.
We could do that.
I wonder how long that would take. That was an exercise.
It's like bad lip reading.
We did that in film school. We picked a scene, and then we had to do all the voiceover with our own voice. Mm. I picked Raging Bull. It was a lot of fun. A whole lot of fun.
Your mother sucks.
I didn't do that one, though.
Thanks, Gio, for the almost endless emails.
Hey, a fun fact, too, about the listeners that assigned and decided this week, all first-timers.
Hey,
Leif had this was his first movie, Frank's first movie, and Travis's first movie next week, and...
And
Jake's first assigner.
I'm excited about this. Welcome to the club, guys. And thanks, Mitch Burns, as always, for all you do, and Mike Cole for managing all of our gambling stats. Appreciate all of you guys. That is Antiques. Load it for BearDoc.com.
Yes, I should have led with that. Yes. I had our fiscal sponsor was my guest today on loadedforbear.com.
Really?
Yeah. Nick Hudson. Great guy. We talked about you off air. We made sure that part wasn't recorded. We didn't want anyone.
We might have talked about you a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, I'll be listening then.
loadedforbear.com. A lot of really, really good, fun stuff is happening over there.
All right. Check it out, guys. Until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.